You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Hello and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. I'm your host, G.P. Haggert, author, theologian, exorcist. thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and it's because of you this podcast is growing. I looked at the results the other day on Podbeam, who distributes the podcast for me, and it's just the numbers are just flowing up. Feel free to especially it's on YouTube. You can find the Exorcist podcast on YouTube, and you know, feel free to share, like, and subscribe and share each episode, so that more people are familiar with the information out there about the demonic and the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and all that. And demons, because there's so much misinformation out there about what's going on in the world, and I have a lot of friends in the paranormal community, and they know me, they all know me, they express their feelings and their thoughts about what they believe demons are and ghosts and all that, and I evangelize to the best that I can to the paranormal community, and you can't convert somebody who doesn't want to listen. So the best that we can do is to talk to these people and tell them the truth. And if they don't want to accept it, there's really nothing you can do. You can just pray for them that the Holy Spirit, God, through the Holy Spirit, will, of course, touch their heart. Eventually that will happen. I believe that. Because I prayed for a lot of people in a paranormal community, and I've seen them come to Christ. And it's just, there are Christians in the paranormal community, you know, to represent. One of the most popular Christians I know is Dustin Perry. And he's a very big Christian, especially if you see him on Twitter and see a lot of his posts. And people love him for that. And that's what, you know, everybody's got their favorite person in the paranormal who is a specific person. There's witches, pagans, there are Satanists, there are psychics and mediums, of course, as we know, and paranormal investigators. I think the mass majority of paranormal investigators that I've ever met are all Christian, which I asked them, like, well, okay, you're a Christian, you're doing this, you're going out ghost hunting, why are you breaking and placing upon yourself the curse of necromancy? And I don't understand. Making yourself susceptible, because the enemy wants to come at Christians and destroy Christians as much as possible, and so you are basically going into the lion's den when you ghost hunt, and you're a Christian, and you're bringing stuff home, and you may not even know it. 99% of the time, you're not going to know it. You keep listening to the Exorcist podcast, and you'll be able to identify the signs of demonic activity that are non-literal in your home. I mean, you don't even know it. I mean, most people define paranormal demonic activity as, oh, there's got to be poltergeist activity, stuff moving around, glasses breaking, and, you know, covers opening and all that stuff. But no, it's much, 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 much more than that. sorry, just a little dark humor there. That just comes from experience. And that's what I'm here for, is to guide people through the paranormal, that they don't, they assume. A lot of people in the paranormal community assume. And I had a government teacher in high school who once said, the first words he said in class when people, when all kids sat down, he wrote the word assume up on the board, and then he divided it into three words. And he said to all of us, if you are going to assume anything in this class, you are making an ass out of you and me. So just keep that in mind, people that are in the paranormal community. You are assuming. You don't have the truth. No, there is no truth there in what you're doing. There's no truth in psychics and mediums. There is no truth in witchcraft. Actually, you want to know what happens from the stories that I've read, interviews that I've had with people who have died, you know, these near-death experiences, and they've died and went to heaven. Well, there's people that have died and went to hell and came back. And one really struck me, where this gentleman was telling about his experience where he died and was guided by Jesus throughout hell so that he can go back and tell others how terrible it is. And there was a group over to the side of people who were in this prison, in this, not chained up, but they were behind bars in hell. And there is a great source for the doctrine of hell is Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. I really highly suggest that book. And he speaks from the heart about hell. And Bill Weiss talks about how, and there's no strength in hell. You are crawling on your belly the whole time, the best that you can. And demons are partially in torment, and so they're able to go and do whatever they want to you, because they hate you, because you bear, we all of us humans bear the image and likeness of God. Therefore, they hate us. And like Lucifer says to you Satanists out there, and I quote, this is a big quote, you're puppets. Puppets. He don't care about you. And so demons are, there are, because they're in partial torment, and they will be eventually in full torment in hell after Christ returns. And they're crawling around, people are, you're crawling around on your belly, and you're struggling to take a breath because there's no air in hell the whole time for all eternity. And Bill said, think about the worst flu, the worst illness that you ever had, and times it by 1,000. That's how you feel for all eternity. But this other gentleman talked about how he saw a cage full of all of these people who have done witchcraft. And of course, your eternal, there's no water in hell. And so these people were biting their spiritual skin, trying to get the blood out, trying to suck the blood, their own blood, so that they have some sort of moisture in their mouth. It's just something to think about if you're into witchcraft. And there's no truth in Reiki, no truth in New Age. And this ticks you off if you're of the occult, of all, done any of this stuff. I really don't care, because I love you. And this is why I do the podcast, because I love people. I've been an occultist a long time ago, before I even decided to become a Christian. And I mean, I accepted Christ when I was a child, excuse me. I later on became an atheist, an agnostic, and then I became an occultist, and I did a lot of really evil stuff. And then I had my possession, and I called it quits. I came to Christ fully and got into deliverance ministry. And I had just been seeing the truth. The doors of the heavenly realms have just been opened to me. And that's why I invite people out to exorcisms to show them, to open up the door and show them just how, you know. I remember a friend of mine over in Standish, Randy Irvin, his story was told on a haunting. It was one of the first paranormal shows that came out on Discovery. It was very popular. I think it was more popular than Ghost Hunters at the time when it came out. So much so that they actually wanted to bring it back. And they brought it back. I don't even know if it's still on or not. But he told his story of his haunting up at Standish. And his book is titled The House on Church Street. And if you're ever in the Michigan area up north of Bay City in Saginaw, go to Standish and go to Church Street, and that house is not there anymore, and for good reason. And to make a long story short, what happened was that area of Michigan is a lot of it's owned by the tribe, the Chippewa tribe. And a long time ago, the area was known as Indian Burial Ground, but they started making habitats in the area, and of course we have Standish come up now. Well, occasionally if there is an area which sorry, I'm using my mouse here so you can probably hear the clicking, but occasionally when they're building stuff up there in that area, they're going to find some bones, and they're Native American bones. And that's what happened with Randy. He moved into this house on Church Street in Standish, and he was down in the basement, and he was doing some digging, and lo and behold, he found some bones. Well, they were properly disposed of by the tribe, but it got him curious about the paranormal. Well, he went into Wicca, and he learned some spells. He went into full-blown witchcraft. He got a connection with another witch in Detroit, and he tried some things in the home. The house became haunted just from all the witchcraft that he did. And so then he decided that, well, if it's because of, you know, if it's witchcraft that brought this thing in, then it's got to be witchcraft that will bring it out. And so him and this other witch from Detroit did some things in the house to try to remove the spirits that came into the place, and it just made things worse. Everything exploded. So much so that the haunting seeped out from his house into the neighborhood surrounding the house. It became a principality, you could say, in the literal sense. There was a report of the neighbor seeing a full-blown Indian chief out on their porch one night. But I don't remember the full effect of the story, but if you're ever in the area, but what happened, why the house isn't there, was the whole area got so haunted that when he moved out, the people in the area came together and made a petition to have the house destroyed. And so the house was removed. It was destroyed. Now it's a vacant lot, and it's still like that to this day. And it's not too far from the highway. It is right next to M61. And it's kind of a sad story. There is another person who owns that property, and they don't allow trespassers onto the property. But there is a sign out there that does say the house on Church Street, referring to that story. And I'm confident enough that just like sometime in the future, I don't know when, but there could be a good story out of that, a movie made out of that, because it's a very, very interesting what he went through. And again, his name is Randy Irvin, and the book is called The House on Church Street. I haven't talked to Randy in a while. I don't even know if he's still alive or not. His daughter is actually a fine artist. I believe she lives out in California. So he even said about witchcraft, and he's a full-blown Christian today. And Randy said, and I quote, "Greg, when we use witchcraft to try to remove those demons from the house, it was like pouring gasoline on a fire." And so if you are into witchcraft, I implore you to stop. I mean, in fact, I know what goes on in witchcraft, and we're going to have an episode eventually where we will talk about and expose everything relating to witchcraft and what goes on. And I want to warn you witches out there ahead of time that are listening to this and actually planning on putting curses on me. Be careful. The Lord does watch over me. I give the vengeance to the Lord, just so you know. And I'll just say it right here on this podcast. Any witches who put spells on me, curses on me, I ask, according to John 14:14, that it will come back upon you sevenfold. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself, my family, and the members of my ministry. And we're going to go and expose all this about witchcraft in an upcoming podcast. And the people in the past, I'm just going to say this, people in the past who have tried to curse me, who have tried to, even critics, who have tried to criticize me, and even ex-employers who have offended me, in each and every time I have given the vengeance to the Lord, and I believe it. I have faith. That's how strong my faith is. You can tell how strong my faith is in each and all these exorcisms that I am putting on display here in this podcast. My faith is strong, people. I believe all I have to do is say words to demons and it torments them, and it has effect. It's called ecbolism. And each employer that I have had in the past that has falsely fired me, removed me from my position, I have even had applied for supervisor positions 5 times at one company, and there were people who tried to prevent that from happening just because they were jealous. All these companies were shut down. I used to work, when I was young, I used to work at Office Max in Midland, Michigan. It's not there anymore. It's a vacant lot because the people who worked the store were actually very evil people, and they offended me in that way, and I gave vengeance to the Lord. The manager was actually taking money from my paycheck. So I gave that vengeance to the Lord. We used to work for a printer in Clare, and I was removed from my position unjustly. I gave the vengeance to the Lord. I said, if it's in your will, may this place be shut down. It's shut down to this day. Campbell Printing in Clare. There was a newspaper I worked for when I was younger in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, the Morning Sun. So at the time, it was called Central Michigan Newspapers when they worked there. And all you people can look this up to find out if it's true or not. Go ahead. Like I said, I have a transparent ministry, and I'm just telling you how much right now, how much God takes care of you when you have faith and you give him the vengeance. The Morning Sun had fired me when I was young because at the time I had mono. I was sick. It was actually wrongful termination. They let me go. I gave the vengeance to the Lord. That newspaper got shut down. Those people got fired. Another place is Quadgraphics, Midland. They're shut down. CSI in Midland did websites for them when I was younger. They didn't keep their promises. I gave the vengeance to the Lord when I left, and the place got shut down. Every person, every occultist who has put curses on me have had something negative happen to them. I'm not going to go into detail of what happened to them. And I'm not saying that I'm special. I'm just saying that I have faith. I pray every day. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself, my family, and my ministry. I pray for holy warrior angels. And I'll tell you this right now. There are so many angels on my property, all you witches, that if you send a demon out to see me, it'll come back and it will attack you. That's a warning. And that will happen. So that's just a warning to all of you occultists out there who are planning to do that kind of thing to stop me. And nothing is going to stop me from doing this podcast. So that's just to let you know. That is how much I know about the heavenly realms and what goes on. And by the way, I make your master say that he's a coward each and every time I encounter him. And he says it. So do you want to be on that kind of side? Do you want to be on that kind of side? Do you want to follow a coward? And they have admitted openly to the courts of heaven that they are a coward. So just remember, the true power is with Jesus. And the whole reason why I got into the occult was because I was young and stupid and I wanted power. And I didn't see true power until I started following Jesus. And whoa, there is a lot of power. And to use that power in Jesus' name to go and help others and in a loving way and to bring joy to a family's life when demons are cast out is awesome. We give all glory to the God for all that. A couple of announcements I do want to say on this podcast. And before we get into the main meat of this podcast, we are at the moment looking for people in the state of Michigan, Northern Ohio, Northern Indiana, Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but mainly Michigan. We are looking for people who are willing to learn deliverance. You're going to go out on cases with me here in Michigan, and you're going to learn how to do inner healing and deliverance and help families, and you're going to learn everything that I know. And Also, to keep this ministry running, we depend on financial gifts. There is in the description. If you want to give any a dollar amount, that will help us greatly to be able to travel to people's homes, to set up shop, to buy the equipment that we need in order to help people. And so we rely on your financial support. So again, there is that link in the description in the podcast. And feel free to give any amount that you wish. Also, kind of want to talk about Paracons a little bit. I do evangelize to the paranormal community. And if you have a Paracon or a paranormal conference in the area, and you want to see me speak at that paranormal conference, go ahead and contact the people who run that conference and tell them that you want GP Haggart to speak. And they'll get a hold of me, and I'll speak at that convention, and we'll show people the truth. So it's something to think about. You really want me to come in your area? I'll come in your area. I will speak, and I will set up shop somewhere, don't know where, to do the best of my ability to cast out demons. So, okay, this is an exorcism of the demon Leviathan. He has been the only demon that has been trying to get at me. Of course, there's a few others that try, they try to, but they really can't, like the spirit of murder. But Leviathan's really the only demon that tries to get at me, tries to touch me, tries to hurt me, for some odd reason. While the other demons are afraid to touch me, just for the purpose of that anointing going in there and tormenting them. God does protect you in an exorcism. If you ask him, if you plead the blood of Jesus Christ between you and the demon, and you put on the full armor of God, and they do see the full armor of God upon you. And there's been times where I even forgot to put on the full armor of God to pray that. And I went right into an exorcism. They still haven't touched me. All except for Leviathan. So this is the final exorcism of my friend Clay. And to kind of get back to the last episode, you depend on people around you. A lot of times there's a few people that I have with me that because you're kind of in the heat of battle and you're focused during that exorcism and confrontation with the demon, that's all you can really think about. And so they're saying things. You got an extra ear, you got some people with you, some assistants that are writing stuff down, and that's what people around me would do, especially Jared. Jared is sitting off to the side, and he's writing stuff down, and he'll even, like, turn around and say, hey, did you catch this, that they said this, and I didn't even catch it, and he'll show me on his paper, and he'll even go and try to hold the person too to help, hope it's all for their good. Because we don't want the demon to try to damage the body, and they will try to do that by violence if you're not careful. So I do depend on people to be an extra ear, and they know when and when not to interrupt an exorcism. Usually when the demon is down, so they'll interact and say, hey, did you catch that they said this? And they, oh, no, I didn't catch that. And then we'll talk about it more, and then we'll go in and go back into battle. So I didn't catch, I forgot to mention this, I didn't catch that when when I was in tormenting Belial and asking Belial to release the destiny and to tell me what it is over Clay, it right away said he's a man of God, and which means that he's a pastor, he's a shepherd, he's an elder. And so I didn't catch that. I was more razor focused on tormenting this demon. I just went ahead and kept tormenting the demon, which is fine because you want to weaken them as much as possible. And so when we went back later and listened to the exorcism, that's when we found and we told Clay, hey, your destiny, your anointing is you're a man of God. So that's something that you need to explore with God more about that. And I myself am a man of God. And you can see what a man of God does just by listening to this podcast. So let me tell you a little bit about Leviathan. I know I explained him a little bit in previous episodes. He's a marine demon. And he's talked about in the book of Job. But the Leviathan in the book of Job, most creationists believe, is a plesiosaur. And Behemoth, of course, is like the sauropod on land. Both similar, but yet one's in the sea, one's on land. But the thing about demons, why this demon is taking on that particular identification of Leviathan, kind of remains a mystery, but we know that a lot of the demons were nameless and until Lucifer gave them assignments and identities. And so this particular demon was assigned as Leviathan. And when a demon gets self-identifies, remember that term? That's used in by the transgender community. And when a demon self-identifies as a particular person from history or a god from history or mythology, they take on the strengths and the weaknesses of that particular entity. So one thing that I have in my box of tricks, I call, and I recommend for a lot of you demonologists out there that are learning about this, you have my cousin Jared, who's a demonologist, has a book, a more updated book than I do. A little jealous about it. But I actually got like two or three of them of fallen angels, and gods. And they just of names and who they are, definitions, that kind of thing. So it's always good to have that with you. So that if you get, and you're going to get some odd names like I have. I think the oddest name that I ever got on from out of a demon was Tabuknik. And I don't often say that name because that was a terrible demon I encountered. Probably the worst I have ever encountered. And he nearly destroyed a church after the exorcism. But that was just a weird name. You're going to get some weird names from these things. And you're going to have to look them up and find out more about them to learn their strengths and their weaknesses. And take advantage of those weaknesses. And, for example, Leviathan's weakness is cutting off his tail. And he's got a spiritual tail and use the sword of the spirit and cut his tail off. And you hear that. And my friend Clay was so surrounded with big guys that I couldn't reach behind him to cut his tail off to weaken this demon. So I hand my Bible, you're going to hear it, to Bob Dowd. Bob, thank you. Good job, Bob. He took the Bible and swiped it against Clay's back. The spirit felt it and cut his tail off. And you're going to hear this demon was very strong at the beginning. And the more that we get it, we do things to weaken it, at the end, you're going to start seeing it kind of have a desperate sound in its voice. You can tell it's getting weakened. And that's what you need to do in deliverance is to, you know, don't be afraid to go after these things. And as a minister of God, you know, you as a man of God, a woman of God, you have authority over these things. You have strength. You have more power over them than you can possibly imagine. You know, it's kind of like a term from Star Wars, you know. essentially, I kind of treat this ministry as like being Jedi's in a way. You're using an all-powerful force of the Holy Spirit, and you can manipulate things you have the authority and power to manipulate things in the heavenly realm, which you bind here on earth gets bound in heaven. And it's an amazing ministry. So we have Jedi Knights in our order, and we have Jedi Masters. So, so without further ado, here's the exorcism of Leviathan.
You know, all you guys, yeah, this spirit is a strong one.
Greg, would it make it easier to hold the table there or something?
Go ahead.
Well, I'll just hold the table there.
A little more space?
Well, the more confined in the area, the less that he can go anywhere.
Okay. Alright.
Okay. Just so you know what's going through my head right now, I'm saying F you.
Oh, I don't care.
Not me. I love you, brother.
I know.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yep.
Just gonna get really pissed off. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Leviathan, come up. You have any more legal right? I expect an answer. No. What's your answer?
No.
Say, I Leviathan.
No.
I Leviathan.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Fire.
No.
You don't like fire, do you?
No.
You'd rather have water, wouldn't you? Fire.
No.
Fire.
No.
Fire! Holy fire! Say, I Leviathan.
I Leviathan.
By myself.
Fuck
Say
you.
I smite you with
no!
For doing that,
no!
Sir, curse the man of God.
No!
No!
No! No! No! No!
Sit down.
No.
Sit down.
No.
Sit down.
No.
Sit down. No. Sit down. Wait, stand up.
Get away from me.
Stand up.
Get away from me.
Stand
Get
up.
Get away from me.
Stand up.
Get away from me.
Stand up.
Get away from me. There.
Stand up.
No.
Stand up. Stand up.
No.
You know what I'm going to do, don't you?
No.
Stand up.
No.
Get across behind him.
No.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up. I ask the Holy Spirit in front of John 14, 14 stand up. Take this Bible and cut his tail off.
No.
Cut
no.
his tail off in Jesus' name.
No.
Cut it off.
Cut
your Bible. Say, I love Leviathan. Say it.
No.
Say, I Leviathan. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say, I Leviathan. Fire.
Yeah.
Holy fire.
Yeah.
Holy fire.
You
gone? Oh. Oh. You're scared and left for a little bit. Good job, Bob.
Throw it on the table. As they both do.
You cut a demon's tail off.
That's tough. I know.
Huh?
He's got a nub now.
Sure you didn't like that.
Yeah, she's got it.
Got it, yep.
She was trying to stand to where you could see it. And then getting smushed in the process, poor thing.
Damn, I'm out of breath.
We're going to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
Gets worse before it gets better.
Ready?
Okay.
Let me get on this side. There we go.
Give me some room here. Okay.
You can move that chair back if you need to.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Leviathan, get on your knees and bow before the man of God. Boy, get down on your knees. Bow before me. Bow before the man of God. I want hands out. Bow. You will obey the man of God. Bow. All the way down. Now. Bow. Stay there. You will obey my authority in Christ. I ask for the presence of Jesus Christ before Leviathan now. You bow before Christ. Bow before Christ. Stand up.
No!
Stand up. Stand up. Get up.
You're not going to want me to stand up.
I said stand up. Now, stand up. Say, I Leviathan. Say, I Leviathan. Fire!
I Leviathan!
Bind myself! To all my kingdom! Say it! If you say it, I don't have to hit you. Say it.
To all my kingdom.
As one.
No.
Do it.
I'm not leaving.
Say it.
He's mine. I'm not leaving.
Yes, you are. Say it.
No.
Say it.
All my kingdom.
As one. I take a threefold cord from Ecclesiastes 4:12 and I bind all your kingdom together as one.
Yeah.
I'm causing any disease. An illness. Say it. Give me the answer. Say it.
Pain.
Say, I bind myself. Say it.
I bind myself.
To pain.
To say pain.
I take a threefold cord and I bind pain to you in Jesus' name. Together. Say it.
Together.
We renounce. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say
no.
It. Fire.
I don't want to go.
Fire. Say it. Say it. Together.
Together.
We renounce.
Together we renounce.
Every right. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Say it. Fire. Fire. You submit. Every right to this man, say it.
Every right to this man.
We lift the curse. Say it.
We lift the curse.
On Clay Scott. Say it.
No.
Say it.
He did this.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
He cast me out. He's going to pay.
Say it.
I'm Clay Scott. Say it.
No!
You're gonna say it.
I'm Clay Scott!
And future generations. For what we have done. Say it.
For what we've done.
To torment this man.
To torment this
man. Of God.
Of God.
And all his ancestors. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Hang on with his ancestors.
We receive. The judgment of God.
Ain't happening.
Say it.
Ain't happening.
Say it.
Say it.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
The judgment of God. Say it. Say it.
The judgment of God.
7 times greater.
Oh no.
Say it.
Oh no.
Fire. 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 Holy fire. Say it. 7 times greater. Say it.
7 times greater.
Feel it.
No.
Feel it. Having no more right.
No more.
To this child of God.
To this child of God.
We release his destiny.
We release his destiny.
And anointing. Say it.
No.
Say it.
And anointing.
Having no further legal right. Say it.
Having no further legal right. Get off of me.
To stay. To stay. To stay. Say it. To stay. Say it.
To stay.
We all go now.
We all go now.
Hold on, guys.
Yep.
To dry places.
Oh,
say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Fire.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Dry places.
And then.
And then.
We go.
We go.
To. The.
The
abyss.
Nope.
Say it.
Nope.
Say it.
I'll take the abyss.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out. Everybody say it.
Get out.
Get out.
Go.
Get out.
Go.
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 Get out. Get out. Is Clay?
Yeah.
We're free, man.
Whoa.
He left now, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Look at me. I anoint you now, the Holy Spirit. I ask, according to John 14:14, for Holy Spirit to fill Clay Scott's soul and body and spirit forever, all these demons were dwelling. I ask this now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God.
I was going to say, give him the chair.
Oh, I feel like I had a lot of time in the bounce.
Are you sore in the morning?
Yeah.
Give your son credit, too, for pulling up the Bible on his phone and reading from it.
Yeah?
Oh, awesome.
Thank you, Elisha.
Something fell earlier. What
fell?
Oh,
okay,
that was one of my eyes that crashed.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, that's how I heard it. Like,
everything that went sliding that way from off the table.
That's all good.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was a bit more fight.
We knew it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
So there you have it. Really the only demon that tries to get at me, and very violent exorcism, supernatural strength, and just real resistance from this dragon, this Leviathan, this demon. It's a demon dragon. And again, this demon got in Clay because of an improper prep of an exorcism, and the demons that he was trying to cast out of this lady that he was helping to deliver had jumped out into him. They found a legal right that they were able to get into him. He didn't plead the blood of Jesus Christ properly to do this exorcism. And so as a result, Leviathan and Belial went into him. And you heard me during the exorcism in both cases pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over myself and everybody there. And it's the job of the exorcist, the deliverance minister, to protect everybody involved. We have the knowledge and capability of what's going on in the heavenly realms to protect everybody. As shepherds, it's our duty to do so, especially if we're conducting an exorcism. So you can hear the struggles that were going on there. Nisa, I know these gentlemen that were holding him down, and they were just, they're the breathing that you heard in the audio were actually from them trying to restrain Clay and keeping him from, keeping the demon actually that's in him from trying to come at me or even trying to do any damage to the body. And that's why we have, mainly why people are restraining somebody during an exorcism is so that the demon, because they don't care. They're going to try and get at certain people if they're able to and they have the opportunity to, and they'll take it, to do some damage, not only to the people there that are involved, but also to the body that they are in. So it's something to keep in mind if you're looking to do deliverance and exorcism. Again, with Leviathan, to weaken him, you can tell just how much strength at the beginning that he had, that and then toward the end there, because we were just beating him to a pulp, getting him to submit to the authority that was there, Jesus Christ, and to the church that's there. The people, the witnesses that were involved, and everybody there was all Christian. These demons were just overwhelmed. They got run over by a locomotive, basically. And it's another thing too is, you know, the demons will try to do a lot of trickery during the exorcism. You know, they'll try to, under their breath, not say certain words in the oath. And you heard me go back and say, nope, you got to say this. When, you know, most people are doing a deliverance on somebody, will let things slide. No, you want to make sure that they do not undermine your authority. You know, when you are in there, in that judgment seat, you got to have the mindset that you're the judge. This is your area that you're in charge of. You represent the courts of heaven and the Almighty, and you're there, and they will abide by your authority. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if they do not abide by your authority, then you torment them. And that's how much authority you have in Christ as a Christian. Always keep that in mind. Do not let demons undermine your authority. Do not let them get away with certain things. If they look away and they're looking at other people in the room, you take your cross. What I do is I take my cross, put it on their cheek or their chin, and I move the head back to me and say, and I look at them with complete authority, and I say, I didn't tell you to not look at me. Keep your eyes on my eyes only. And what that does is it keeps the demon centered upon the exorcist, yourself, the man or woman of God, and so that it protects everybody there, and so that they have a tunnel vision. And all they can see is in your eyes, Jesus Christ. And a lot of times when you're encountering Leviathan and Lucifer, these two demons just cannot look you in the eye because they see Jesus and they're afraid to. They won't admit that, too. I'm not afraid of you. Yes, you are. I can tell. They have their own characteristics of displaying fear. But again, just in my experience, it may be different for you, maybe certain other demons for you. For me, the Leviathan has been the only one that's been trying to really get at me. I think just because of the legends behind the Leviathan. Really don't want to go into all detail about, you know, one legend is that, I believe it's according to the Bible, that God is the only one who can tame this demon, this creature in real life and physical aspects, but in the spiritual aspects, it has a lot of strength. It has that strength, and so you have to allow God to take the head of the exorcism and let him flow through you to handle this demon. You could hear that in the aspects of this audio, that he was just taking the lead. He kept telling me, slap him up with my word, slap him up, keep saying fire. He likes water, so just keep saying fire. So you hear me saying fire a lot. And that's another thing, is when you're encountering, I had this question by some demonologists, like, well, when you're dealing with Leviathan, should you use holy water? Oh yeah, absolutely. Holy water is just water to us in the physical realm, but to the heavenly realms, holy water is like liquid fire. And so, yeah, I mean, I usually have an aspergillum nearby, full of holy water, and when a demon is disobeying me, you know, and I get them to submit, I'll take the aspergillum and I'll start splashing holy water on them until they submit. Say, okay, stop. Oh, it burns. And but in Leviathan's case, you can use the word. You can just say fire, holy fire. Holy fire just intensifies the torment even more. Of course, you want to cut his tail off, and I want to thank Bob Dowd for doing that. Actually, I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody that was there. Elijah Clay's son for supporting his father. Teresa Cook for allowing us, who's the owner of the William Peter Mansion, for allowing us to be there and to do these mass exorcisms that we've done a few times already now. Jared Grimm, the demonologist during the mass deliverances, helping to take care of these demons with me. Matt Carter from Kentucky, and Kelly Carter, and Sharon Dowd, who's also there supporting, and especially Tracy Herb, part of our ministry, was there learning and also looking to renounce some things. Oh, she was there and get tested for any demons. And she was having a heck of a time trying to, she was holding the oath of exorcism for me. And you can check out the actual video of this on our YouTube page, Exorcism of Belial and Leviathan, but it's actually just the Leviathan. We posted it at the time. I had forgotten that I didn't bind the demons together. It's kind of in the heat of battle. That's why you need support from other people with you and to help you focus. You know, I'm getting older and doing this. I've been doing this for 30 years. So I'm getting close to my 50s. And so I need some support. I need some people, you know, assisting me to catch things that I don't catch, that the demons said, any other reactions in the environment, and even to catch me if I, you know, if I lose my focus. So because in the heat of battle, all you can think about is just, you got, because for me, what an exorcism's like, and I get this question a lot, what's it like doing an exorcism? God just sends you a whole lot of power. When the demon comes forward, it's just like God shows up too inside of you. And he's ready, you know, he's your he's your sparring partner in the boxing ring. He's like, when you show up in the boxing ring and you think that you're going to be alone, he's right there. He's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this, and here's some power. Okay, here's some more power. We're doing this. We're going up against them, and I'm going to help you. And so you've got to concentrate on interrogating the demon and getting information, but also throttling back all this power that God gives you. And it's a heavy burden. And because you just feel, like for me, I just feel all this energy just hover all over me. I get all tingly when God shows up, and I get warm. I've had people, shake my hand afterwards, like, or hug me and say, oh, wow, you're super warm. Other people have said that my eyes get bluer. I do have blue eyes. My eyes get bluer. I've had people, of course, I've explained this before, coming out of their possession as the demon's leaving, and they're seeing me, and all they can see is fire in my eyes or bright light. And it's just amazing of what God is able to do through you. And that's what I look forward to. And it's kind of like my addiction. I'm like, okay, I got to get to the next exorcism because I want to experience more God. And so it becomes deliverance can become an addiction for the person who feels the power of the Holy Spirit just enter them like that. And it's just like, well, I want to feel that again. That was awesome. And of course, after the exorcism, it's just beautiful. Everybody, you could hear that. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's joyful. The Holy Spirit was there. Everybody was just feeling joyful. And poor old Clay, he slept for days after that. That's going to happen. The body gets wore out, not just from the slapping of the the exorcist with the Bible or any other objects, but the spirit, the demons, they take a toll on the body because, again, they just don't care about the body. When they manifest the restraints, the people are involved to restrain the person. They're there to support the person. And of course, Clay wanted to continue. He was directing his own deliverance. I wasn't directing anything. I was there representing him on his behalf and the courts of heaven and the Almighty. And of course, in Jesus' name. And demons come out different ways. They can come out through vomiting. I've seen that. They come out through dry heaving. I've seen that quite a bit most of the time. And they come out through screaming. And of course, in Clay's case, they came out through screaming. You can hear him going, ah, and then he's coming forward. And usually when they're screaming, I have to look, kind of come in and say, okay, I want to make sure that, is this you? Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I feel so much lighter. I feel a lot better. So usually with vomiting and dry heaving, that's usually a telltale sign for me. Like, yeah, they're gone. They're out. They got taken to the abyss. But with screaming, it's just like, okay, I got a test to make sure that they're there. And usually after the exorcism, I do a test. And I apologize that we haven't been showing the test afterwards, but I usually read, there's like 10 to 11 scriptures that demons hate. And I'll share those in another podcast. But these scriptures demons hate, and they usually do manifest when you read these scriptures off. So I usually read off those particular scriptures. And then if a demon manifests, then I know that, okay, we didn't get them all. But if I read those scriptures and nothing comes up, and I even try to call anything back up or do some more renouncing, and nothing else comes up, I know, okay, we got them all. I usually don't ever claim somebody fully without demons, because there are other kingdoms that could be within a person that other kingdoms don't know about or the person doesn't know about. There could be a possibility that of another kingdom that's buried deeper down in some more emotion that the host hasn't felt in a long time, and that's where they want to stay. And so you usually have to sit down and do some more counseling, inner healing with the person to bring those deep embedded emotions that are way down back up. And they're usually going to feel emotions that they have never felt before. Usually with people that I know that tell me, yeah, I'm pretty numb in my emotions. I know that there's a lot of pain in there somewhere within their soul. Possibly of dissociatives that are holding on to pain, and the demons have pushed them down even further so that they're not discovered. Because if we find those dissociatives, because they're holding on to the pain, we can heal the pain and we can get their person to renounce them. And a lot of exorcists don't do it, but I do, and get the dissociative to integrate back into the core mind. I know a lot of counselors, psychologists don't recommend people that are not licensed to do that, but I just happen to know how to do it. And so I help to integrate the person back into the mind, the dissociative back into the core mind. And so the person can be a whole person again. But I know a lot of other exorcists out there don't do that. They just leave the dissociatives there and try to get 51% of the soul to agree on Christ. And if you get 51% of the soul to agree on Christ, the demons can't do anything, at least. And there's probably going to be some darker dissociatives there who will agree with the demons, but once the demons are gone, they're out, then they got nothing else to do in the mind. But I know how to evangelize. I know how to convict the soul. And when the dissociatives come up, I usually convict them and let them know that where they're going to go if they don't accept Jesus Christ. And I know that this is a portion of the mind that has been split off, but still, I don't think I've had a dissociative yet that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But soul ties are different. Soul ties, we try to get them to go back to the core of a living person. If that's, you know, like there's a case we'll share, a portion of the victim's mom was in the daughter, and I talked to the mother, even though she was still alive, and talked to the mother about, look, you're in the way of your daughter's deliverance. She wants to break free, and we have to threaten these soul ties. If they don't leave, then I tell them, look, you got an option here. You can either leave on your own accord, or else I'm going to have to bind you to the demons, and when they leave, you're going to go with them into the abyss, and you're not going to like where they go. But that's usually what happens, and they usually, after that kind of threat, they're like, okay, I'll leave. And her mother felt weird the next day. So these are portions of people's souls, or what people would refer to as ghosts, in a way. So that's pretty much this episode. We're going to get into more before the season's over with. Send us in your questions, if you have any, for me. We're going to have a visual session, a podcast, at the William Peter Mansion on the 24th. Of this month. It'll be the final episode of this season. It'll be Jared and I. He's a demonologist. I'm the exorcist. We're going to be talking on the podcast more about demons and angels and whatever else. So if you have any questions, we're going to answer them right on the air on YouTube. And have a great night. God bless. Bye.